Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him, that is the Lord Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. There is a town in the north of Italy, just on the Italy side of the border between Italy and Switzerland, a town that really isn't known for a whole lot, but a town that the wealthy and the celebrity and those that are important in terms of this world gather together every year for a week. The town of Milan, Italy. Known for its sense of fashion or what's fashionable. And each year they flock to that place in the center of town. There is a cathedral that took 600 years to erect. Its edifice is quite outstanding. It has five distinct archways at the entrance. Over three of these archways at one time, an inscription was written. The one to the left read this: all that pleases is but for a moment. The arch to the right, the farthest right, was inscribed with these words: all that troubles is but for a moment. And in the center were these words: that only is important, which is eternal. Sometimes, living in this life, we become more focused upon the things that are seem to fade, that seem to transition in and out of our lives. And we don't give any consideration whatsoever to the things that remain, to the things that God's Word says are eternal. And you can be here this morning without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And you can be filling up your heart, filling up your attention, filling up your life with things that just soon fade away in a moment of time. And you'll find out when you venture off into eternity that there was more, oh, much more, that you should have considered. The Spirit of God uses this word translated in the English, moment, three times only in the New Testament. And we read each of those portions of Scripture this morning. But the Spirit of God uses a different Greek word for each one. It's not the same word, but it was translated the same in English. And each of these definitions of this word really reveal to our hearts just how brief life is. Just how even briefer the things of our life are. And what's really way more important. In Luke chapter 4, we find out that all that pleases is but for a moment. It says that the Lord Jesus, having been baptized by John in the River Jordan, was led by the Spirit, and being full of the Holy Spirit, it says, was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. It's not that he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and then we read these three temptations that the devil gives. It's that he was tempted by the devil continuously for 40 days. And the Scripture records these three temptations that the devil gave to the Lord Jesus. And you know, I think it's interesting because the last time we read in the Scriptures of the devil tempting God's man, it was that you can be like God. The devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and he said, you can eat of this tree. It'll make you wise. It'll give you knowledge. It'll make you like God, knowing good and evil. And she partook of that fruit and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And so began the sorry record of the sin of man in the world. But here on this occasion, in order to tempt the Lord Jesus, it's not that he was tempting him to be like God. It was that he was tempting him to prove that he was God. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And again, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. He wanted him to prove it. But here, in the context of these temptations, is where we find that the devil takes him up to a high mountain and shows unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Matthew's gospel adds that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time. That word for moment is the Greek word instant. He instantly showed. It wasn't the top 10 list. You know, you think of the 10 great civilizations in the world, 10 greatest kingdoms in the world, and the devil just went down the list 1 to 10 with them. No, it wasn't the top 10. It says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. And the glory of them. And it teaches us that if you are living for the world, it doesn't take very long. The world is in a transition. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And there's a day coming when this old world will be dissolved. Done. He showed all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The pleasures of this life are such a fleeting thing, aren't they? You know, as the older you get, it seems that time just slips by so quickly. You know? We can remember these various events of our lives, these various moments of our lives, right? We remember them. And when you're older and you sit back and you look back, they don't take as long to recall, do they? They're here and they're gone. The only advice I could give to you if you're here with young children is don't blink. Because they don't stay young. They get older. All that pleases in this life is but for a moment. I've said it here before and I'll say it again. There was a man that was at the top of his game as far as the world was concerned. He had it all. He had great popularity. He has riches untold. He can have anything his heart desires, and he has. He's tried drugs. He's tried sex. He's tried anything that he could buy. And at the end of his life, when it comes time to bury him in the ground, his eternal epitaph will be simply this phrase: I can't get no satisfaction. The one thing that he's well known for, singing. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he, the psalmist says, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's not a fleeting thing. It's a permanent thing. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, in writing his first letter, wrote to various ones that he called out in his letter. He wrote to fathers and to young men. And this is what he says in verse 15 of chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so often we stop there, but it continues. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Anything, any sin that we can commit in this life, there's a certain amount of pleasure attached to it. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. But it's a fleeting pleasure. It doesn't give real joy, lasting joy. You go into the prison system and you interview those that have been incarcerated for various crimes, for murder, for stealing, for armed robbery, for whatever. And they'll tell you, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I could do it all over again. I wish we could turn the clock back. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all these things please to a certain extent, but never, ever eternally. The only thing that pleases eternally is what the psalmist says in Psalm 16. He says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's the only place, beloved, where there is pleasure forevermore. Real, honest-to-goodness, lasting pleasure. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know nothing of that kind of joy, nothing of that kind of pleasure that lasts and lasts and lasts. It's up one minute and down the next for you. Why will you not be saved? All that pleases is but for a moment. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read that all that troubles is but for a moment. The word moment in the Greek in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 literally means to pass or passes. Talks about how transitionatory it is. And it says that in connection with what the apostle writes as our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, he's speaking to believers here in this verse. And actually, in verse 8 of the chapter, he says, we are troubled on every side. It all brings to mind the words of Job. In the book of Job, he writes, man that is born of a woman is of few days. Life is brief and full of trouble. We are troubled on every side. Even those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can say, you know, this life is a lot of trouble. And it always seems to find us sometimes. You come out on a Wednesday night and you'll hear a lot about the trouble as we pray for one another who are sick and laid aside. Those that have physical needs. Those that have emotional needs. Those that have spiritual needs. Just seems like there's no end to trouble. But the apostle says that all that troubles is but for a moment. In fact, it passes away. You know, when you're going through the midst of it, doesn't seem like time is marching on very quickly. When you're laying in that hospital bed, all you can think about is, when am I going to get out of here? And sometimes you don't even care how. Just, when am I going to get out of here? When is this suffering, when is this time of trouble going to cease? Gives you a healthy respect for Job, doesn't it? I don't think any of us have ever suffered to the extent that Job has, and maybe you're here this morning and you think you have, but here's a man that lost everything in one day. One day, one 24-hour period, He lost his children, all of them wiped out. Hardly an opportunity to grieve about it. He loses all his wealth. If that's not bad enough, his friends are miserable comforters. His wife tells him to curse God and die, and he's afflicted. He loses his health in the process. And in all of that trouble, it says, yet Job did not sin, nor charge the Lord foolishly. You know, we read through that book of Job, and it's like it takes a long time to get through that book. There's a lot of heavy contemplation going on with him, between him and his friends, between him and God. But at the end of the book, the sun begins to shine again on Job, doesn't it? We read that Job ends up having, at the end of the day, twice as many children. He had those that he had, and then the Lord gave him seven other. He doubled his amount of children. The Lord prospered him because he prayed for his friends and brought him back from all that trouble that he endured. And it says this, that Job saw the end of the Lord, that he was very pitiful and full of mercy. And we can think sometimes that trouble lasts and lasts and lasts. And here it says, it's just passing away. An old believer was riding in a car with a young man one day, and the young man thought he'd find out a little bit what wisdom this old man had as far as spiritual things were concerned. And so he asked him this question. He said, "What is your favorite verse in all the Bible, or verses?" And the man was silent. And they drove along for miles, what seemed like miles, before the old man spoke. He says, "You know, you asked me what was my favorite verse or verses in the Bible." He says, "I'd have to say my favorite ones are the ones that say, 'And it came to pass.'" And it came to pass. Trouble comes. But for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God trouble doesn't stay. It's just passing away. Much like the world that we live in. It's on a time march to being completely done away with. It's just for a moment. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21, we read of that celestial city. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." He says in verse 23 that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it. He says, "There shall be in no wise entering into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no temple," in verse 22, "no sun or moon, no night, no sin, eternally gone, passing away, just like John says, and the lust thereof. Only the one that does the will of the Lord endures forever. My friend, if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the trouble that you experience today is nothing compared to the trouble that you will experience for all eternity if you do not trust Christ as your Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read the third time the word moment was used. This is in terms, in connection with believers. Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15 about what's to come for the believer. And he makes this statement in verse 19. He says, if we have hope in Christ only in this life, if we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because our belief, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does absolutely nothing unless He is risen from the dead, unless He will raise us from the dead, unless we have that assurance of a home in heaven forevermore. And that is what he's seeking to encourage the Lord's people with in 1 Corinthians 15. And so he gets to the end, toward the end of the chapter. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's not possible. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's not just a placard in the nursery. In order for any of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to get into glory eternally, a change must occur. Not just that we have been brought into a new relationship with the Lord Jesus, but there is a day coming, beloved, when our bodies will have to be changed, when this corruption shall put on incorruption. A body that doesn't decay, a body that doesn't deteriorate over time, a body much like that the Lord Jesus enjoys. And he says, it'll happen in a moment. The word moment there means an atom of time. Isn't that a lovely way of putting that? An atom of time. None of us can see an atom. We need a microscope. We need to really get a good microscope to see the atoms, don't we? Just a little speck. Not even a speck. We can hardly see it. Can't see it. But it's just a blip, not even a blip on the radar screen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, not the blinking of an eye, you can measure that. The twinkling of an eye is the amount of time it takes the light to reflect off of your cornea. That quick. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why? Why? I thought the normal thinking of the world is that we're going to die one day, and that's it. I thought the normal thinking of the world was that climate change is going to bring about the extinction of our species. And that's it. Why this change? why this need to be changed. Because there's something more beyond. There is something that is far more important than what we see with our eyes in this world. There is something that is eternal. For many, 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 many years, Spain's motto was ni plus ultra. It meant no more beyond. There was the thinking back in those days that Spain was at the edge of the world, right? Everyone thought the world was flat. Spain was at the edge, and if you sailed past Spain, you were going to just drop off the world into the unknown, into an abyss, I guess. And so for many years, they proclaimed that proudly. You've gotten to Spain, no more beyond. Don't even try to go further than this. There's nothing more. Until in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and went past Spain and discovered that the world wasn't flat, that it was round, that you don't fall off, that there were more lands and more people just waiting to be discovered. And upon his return in a town in Spain, they erected a statue to his honor. On the statue, there is a lion, and this lion is seen to be ripping away that banner of Spain's motto and tearing the knee part away. From that time on, Spain's motto changed. No more was it ni plus ultra, it was just plus ultra. More beyond. They discovered that there was something more. And I know, living in this life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and as the years pile up, it seems like this life is all there is. That there's nothing more. But I'm here to tell you by the authority of God's word that there is more beyond. There is more beyond this life. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, there is something else. There's a judgment. And you know, believers have their own judgment too. After life is done, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will meet the Lord Jesus in the air at the Bema. And we will receive the judgment for a life lived for Him. And we will be rewarded. Reward is in view in that judgment, not punishment. But for the person who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end, the last time we spoke about that great white throne judgment. That is the judgment. Mankind will reap the due reward of their deeds apart from Christ. And it means an eternity spent in a lake of fire. An eternity in that old decaying body with all its problems and trouble and pains and sorrow. The rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, in Luke 16, it says, he lifted up his eyes in torment. Eternal torment. We aren't even scratching the surface in this life of that kind of pain, that kind of trouble. Eternal thirst, he said. Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, just a drop. Eternal thirst. Eternal damnation, we read in Mark chapter 3. Eternal punishment in Hebrews chapter 6. And eternal fire in Jude verse 7. That is what is awaiting the person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior this morning. How is it with you? Is this your moment? Is this the opportunity that you will embrace? Is this the time that you will do business with God and trust Christ as your Savior? Or is this just like all the others when you have heard His word, when you have heard His gospel message proclaimed, and you would just rather walk out, walk through the doors, get in your car, drive off to your home, thinking, as you were singing already, it is well with my soul. And yet, the truth is that your soul isn't well as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned because you haven't done business with Him. There are plenty of us here this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I will tell you, if you're here this morning and don't know Him as Savior and Lord, we are praying for you. We are praying, first of all, that we wouldn't do anything that would leave such a mark on the Lord Jesus that would keep you from wanting to trust Him. Sometimes as a believer, I can be a poor example, right? And we pray that we wouldn't be a poor example to you. But we are praying, too, that you'll see your need of a Savior. That you'll recognize that there's only one way of getting beyond this life. Only one way of getting into life everlasting, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And that is through what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. His death for you, for your sin, you accepting Him as your Savior and Lord makes all the difference in eternity. We trust that it might be so for His name's sake. Father, we are grateful this morning for Your word. We recognize sometimes that we may not communicate effectively enough what You're seeking to do in the hearts of people that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we pray that these ones who do not know Christ as Savior this morning, that they would be able to overlook the stammering lips of a speaker, and that the Spirit of God might be earnestly contending with their soul, and they might understand that and be sensitive to it, and they might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Father, we pray for those of us here who do know the Lord Jesus, have already accepted Him as our Savior and Lord, that we might live our lives being so sensitive to what He wants for us, what He wants to do in us, and what He seeks to do through us for His glory. That we might not be an interruption into the accomplishing of the gospel in this world. Part us with Thy blessing, we pray, for the food that has been prepared, Lord. We ask Thy blessing on it. We take it as coming from Thee. We're so thankful for Thy provision. And we pray that we might not only eat it in joy, but that we might eat Your word in joy too. And that our conversation, our fellowship might be such to remind us of the person of Christ and cause us in our hearts to be encouraged and longing for that day when he shall soon return and take us home to be forever with him in like. And we pray in the Savior's precious name. Amen.